Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
So last week, I talked with you about the types of parties that we are able to attend. And I believe that some of you are continuing to get to know a little bit more about me. I love Christmas. I love chips. I love getting together with people. Is there anything else that you've learned about me over the past few weeks? I love to laugh. I love to cook. That's exactly it. I do love to cook. And this afternoon, I have the great privilege of being able to cook our traditional Newfoundland dinner. And if you've never had that, let me know, and I would love to have you into our home. It is a great thing, and it is a feast, that is for sure. But there's a high content of salt in it, let me tell you that. But I continue to get to know you as well as a church and as individuals. I love getting together with people. I love spending time with people. I love hearing about what God is doing in your life. I love being able to spur you on. I love being able to challenge you. I love being able to encourage you. And that's why I always enjoy a good party. How many have a party planned this weekend for Thanksgiving? There's a few of you. How many of you have already been to a party this weekend? And you still probably have parties to go to. We all enjoy parties. And speaking of parties, I want to just for a moment speak to those individuals in our congregation that are 60 and over. We are planning a party for you. Okay, what it is that something that is very dear to my heart, and you probably got to know as we had our town hall meeting back in June, is that my heart is, I absolutely love spending time with seniors. And so starting this week, we're actually going to be gathering together as 60 plus, the 60 plus population. And I've gone in and spoken to the management team over at Quality Foods here in Comox, just the one down the street. And every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, they have said that we are welcome to come there to have coffee, to connect with one another. There's no pressure on anybody. This is not a program. It's not a case, well, if we get two people, we're going to shut it down. No, if we get two, or if we get 20, or if we get 60, it's an opportunity for you to come, to gather together, to build relationship with one another. An opportunity maybe to get out of the house. Maybe you're looking to put something on your social calendar. This is an opportunity for you. And on top of that, so that's going to be every single Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. at Quality Foods down here in Comox. And then the first Sunday of each month, we're going to be having a potluck in the fellowship hall. All right, so that's a time where we're going to gather together. And we're going to sing songs that we enjoy. Not that I'm in the 60, but I love the songs that you enjoy as well. And then we're going to have a time of sharing. So if that is of interest to you, I would welcome you and invite you to join with me as we start that this coming week. So I enjoy a good party, but I also enjoy my one-on-one times with people. When you attend a party, you don't always get to know the person a great deal. Sometimes you're able to scratch the surface and maybe peel back one of those layers that they've got around themselves. And all of us are people with layers. Do you believe that? We all have layers in our lives. As the layers of our lives get pulled back, you get to know the person a little bit deeper until you're able to get to the very core of who they are. So last week we talked about the seeds that have been planted. When a seed goes into the ground, the layers of that seed get pulled away until the core of that seed is fully exposed. And then what happens is that it dies and then it brings forth something, whatever it is that you've planted. The same is true with us. As individuals, we all have layers. When we come to Christ, we come just as we are. We don't attempt to pull the layers away first. Our life is like a seed. We plant it in Christ. The old person must die and then be born again into a new life with Christ. We are the ones, we trust God to pull away the layers in our lives. Why do we trust God? Because God is the one who created us. He knows how delicate we are, and He knows when those layers need to be pulled back and when those layers need to be exposed. So each person that's in this place this morning, we are all on a journey. And some of you may be a little bit further along in your journey than, say, another person, which is great. You're able to live and be a model for other people of what a transformed life looks like. It's a life that God has been working on. You know what it is that God has asked you to do. You know the things that God has spoken into your life and asked you to change. And my hope is that through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, Jesus interceding for you, and the strength that God pours out upon you, you are able to make the changes that God is asking you to make. So, for example, every single one of us, we all start at, I'm just using this as an illustration. So we all start at the letter A, every single one of us. And what happens at A, we know through Romans 3:23, it reminds us that for every single person, we have sinned. And we have all fallen short of God's glorious standard. Jesus is the one that cleanses us. He is the one that washes all of the sin away. So think about it. If you were out and you were playing in the mud and you got completely covered from head to toe in mud, would you attempt to go and try and clean yourself up before you jump into the shower? Chances are no. You're simply going to go jump in the shower, perhaps clothes and all on, and just start to wash yourself and allow all of that dirt to be removed. When we come to Christ, we come just as we are. We don't attempt to wash ourselves first. Why is that? Because what we deem as being clean is not clean in the sight of Christ. Isaiah 64:6 says, "For we all have become like one who is ceremonial unclean, like a leper, and all our deeds of righteousness are like filthy rags. We all wither and decay like a leaf, and our wickedness, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing, like the wind, takes us away, carrying us far from God's favor toward destruction." So Scripture tells us that our righteousness, what we deem as righteous, is like filthy rags in the sight of Christ. So we come to Christ just as we are. Not trying to make changes because, let's face it, we don't know the changes that need to be made in our own lives. Up to this point, you do not have Holy Spirit living inside of you. So you're not being led by Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit may be drawing you to Himself, but if you are outside of a relationship with Christ, then Holy Spirit is not living inside of you. So before we come to Christ, we're on whatever is on the other side of A. So A is the starting point, okay? So at A, you have just done what Romans 10:9 instructs. And it says this, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So right here, you're at the letter A. You have just asked Jesus to come into your heart. You've confessed with your mouth that you're a sinner. You've confessed that Jesus is Lord. You've asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you. Then you are saved. And just so you know, on that note, that is the day that a celebration takes place. There is a party that day in heaven. The day that you come to Christ, the angels rejoice because a soul has just come home. Do you believe that? Perfect. So the next step, as we've been instructed by Paul in Philippians chapter 2, is that we must begin to work out our salvation. Every single person here is on a journey. Your journey is going to look completely different than mine. However, the instruction manual is the same, and the instruction manual is God's word. We ask Jesus to come into your heart. You work out your salvation. You enjoy the relationship that you are now building with him. So getting back to the A, you start taking the steps. And what is the theme of this series? It's that transitions move us forward. So there's no letter before A. So the next step is to go to B. and then to see. So we start making the steps and start walking towards what it is that God is calling us to. What is it that God is asking you to do? What is it that God is asking you to work on? What is it that God is asking you to change in your life? As you do what God is asking you to do, you're taking the steps towards Him, and in essence, what are you doing? You are working out your salvation. So let me just put in a disclaimer here, as I'm simply using this chart as an illustration from A to B. So don't come up to me after the service and say, can I get a copy of that chart? There is no actual chart, okay? I'm just using that to help you see how we continue to move forward in our alphabet. So, for example, your spouse or your colleague or your best friend may be, say, down here at the letter L. God has been working in them just like He's working in you. It's easy, though, for us to allow our hearts to become discouraged when we see things that this person is now doing or choices that they're making, and we think, oh, man, they were doing so good. They were all the way down here at L, and now I feel like they're right back here at D again. But remember, we are all on our own personal journey with God. Each of us has a personal relationship with Christ, and each relationship looks different. Just like my relationship with Kyla is going to look completely different from your relationship with your spouse. My relationship with Christ is going to look different than your relationship with Christ. We don't know what God is doing in other people's lives, nor do other people know what God is doing in our lives. But we must remember this, that God is working in every single one of us. So let me give you an illustration. I have somebody in my life that struggles with drugs. They've come to God. They've given their life to God. They've surrendered everything to God. And God has started them on their own journey. They start to make some changes. And perhaps for illustration purposes, they're down here at the letter D. And God has been speaking into their heart and asking them to give up the drugs. So this person keeps journeying. And God has given them the strength to overcome this powerful addiction to marijuana and to cocaine and all of these other drugs. This person keeps journeying, but they're struggling in themselves because they haven't quit smoking. They struggle to give up the cigarette. And as a result, they're ready to throw in the towel because they just can't quit smoking. And they feel like, oh, I'm not going to get anywhere in my relationship with Christ. But when I ask the question, why is it that you feel that way? Well, it's because I was raised that this is wrong. And perhaps you've even heard the statement, I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with those who do. But this person was feeling the weight of man. These were man-made rules that were established. And this person was judging themselves by everyone, or felt judged by everyone else. But the truth is that they weren't being judged. Nobody was judging them. God wasn't judging them. God knew the strides that this person was taking. God saw their heart. God saw how they were working out their own salvation. But they struggled to quit smoking and they felt condemned by this. But as we know, who brings the condemnation? It's the enemy. We know that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So as a result of feeling inadequate, this person stops trying. And I tried to explain to them, God has set you free from your sins. God has set you free from your drug addiction. When it is time for you to quit smoking, don't you think that God will give you the strength to overcome this as well? Let's just focus on where you're at and keep moving towards what God is calling you to do. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm condoning smoking. It's a disgusting habit, and it's going to harm your body. But the difference comes when, if God is asking you to do this, then you make the change. But look at what God has done up to this point. Keep moving forward, and God will give you the strength. This applies to every area of our lives. We are to be in submission to God. What is it that God is speaking to your heart about and saying, you know what? It's time for you to change this. It's time for you to give this up. And I will give you the strength to overcome whatever it is, that obstacle that you see that is so huge in front of you. God is the one who will tear that down. So what is it that God has been convicting you about? If God is convicting your heart about it, you can rest assured that he will also give you the strength to overcome it. That should give us hope. That should give us reason to celebrate. Do you believe that? Perfect. So here we are in the midst of summer. It's time to party. It's time to relax. It's time to just kick up our feet and just chill. It's a Thanksgiving weekend. We have so much to be thankful for. Do you believe that? Yeah. What do you have to be thankful for? I was going to say, all of a sudden we went silent. We got family. Friends. Health. Food. Turkey. Thank you. You know, the classic, he's just looking for the answer, Jesus. Well, actually, I was this morning. We are thankful because of what Christ has done for us on the cross, and we took time this morning to remember what God has done. So we know that the seeds have been scattered. The seeds have been planted. Every person hopes that when they plant their seeds, that they are going to see growth, that they are going to reap a harvest. And as we learned last week from studying Paul and Apollos, Paul planted, Apollos watered. What we can learn from this is that both Apollos and Paul were not afraid to get down into the dirt and get dirty. They both knew the party that they were called to host and the work that would be involved. Sometimes this is where we tend to struggle. This party, the party we are being called to host, well, it might attract some uncomfortable people or some people that make us uncomfortable. Perhaps someone might invite a friend to your party that needs a little extra grace. You know, we all have those people in our lives where there's a little extra grace required. We call them an EGR, extra grace required. But we should never be afraid to get down and dirty in a person's life. Remember, someone had to come and get down and dirty with you. It requires humility. Humility comes from the Greek word humos, which means dirt. So as followers of Christ, we are called to get into the physical dirt as well as the spiritual dirt of people's lives. When we look at choices that people make, lifestyles that they choose, they are dirty. Life gets messy. But if you want to see fruit come from the seed, we need to do what God is asking us to do. You don't get the apple tree by simply taking the core and throwing it into your backyard, thinking that a tree is suddenly going to come forth. No, you have to plant it, and you have to water it, and trust that God is going to cause a tree to come forth. Sometimes God asks us to go and work in the dirt. But I do caution people here. Remember, there is a difference between working and playing. Remember who is influencing who. I have heard of people saying, well, I just got to go and meet them where they're at. And sometimes we do have to go and meet people where they're at. But if God is calling you to do this, then don't allow yourself to be put into a tough situation. If your friends become more of an influence on you than you on them, it's important to set boundaries. Set yourself up for success. Don't provide the enemy a footstool into your life. If you attempt to meet someone where they're at, don't allow yourself to go into a place that sets you up for failure. For example, ladies, if God set you free from comparing yourself to other women or even lusting after men, I probably wouldn't recommend that you go to a gym to meet a person where they're at. Because what happens is it's going to open the door for you to start comparing yourself to all the other ladies that are at the gym. Guys, if God has set you free from pornography, don't go into a Hooters bar or into some other place where the women are encouraged to dress provocatively simply so that you can meet someone where they're at. You're setting yourself up for failure. If you've been set free from alcoholism, I wouldn't recommend that you go and meet someone where they're at in a bar or in a pub, because that's just going to set you up for failure. Remember to set yourself up for success and prevent the weeds that once were out of control in your life to not take root again. Get those things out. Don't even allow them to be planted. So you might be thinking, where is he going? And this doesn't sound like much of a celebration. It doesn't sound like much of a party, but it is. I believe that each of us, God is calling us to host a party. What type of party is God calling you to host? Because we all have a party to plan. Parties are created with a purpose. They may be centered around some sort of a celebration. It could be a new baby, a wedding, a graduation, a life. It might be centered around a small business. It might be Epicure, Tupperware, Scentsy. But when people decide to have a party, it's generally the theme of having fun, enjoying company, and connecting with one another. The next thing that a party requires is a plan. What will the party look like? How will you bring this all together? So you have the purpose, you have the plan. Now the preparations need to be made. What do I need to get in place? And then finally, you need people. It's not much fun to plan this whole party if nobody shows up, is it? So we create an invitation list in hopes that people will attend. So depending on the party, we may hope that our friends will invite people to come to this party, and you can be guaranteed they're going to invite that EGR person. Are you ready? But we don't always know who is going to show up. But do you have your grace ready to be extended to every person that walks through the door? So as followers of Christ, we attend a celebratory gathering every single week. Our Sunday morning services are an opportunity for us to come together and to celebrate. Who are we celebrating? We're celebrating Christ. We're celebrating all that he has done. We're celebrating his birth. We're celebrating that he walked the earth. We're celebrating that he died on a cross, but 3 days later, he rose victorious and conquered sin and death. Why do we do this? This brings us to our text this morning, which is found in Hebrews chapter 10. We do this for this reason. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews 10, verses 23 to 25. And it starts by saying this: let us hold fast the confession of our hope. What are we being instructed here? Let us stand firm on what it is that we believe without wavering. So let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Do you believe what you confess? Or are you wishy-washy? Are you up and then you're down? When your friends talk to you, do you speak with confidence on who it is that you believe in and what it is that you believe? Continues by saying, for he who promised is faithful. What God says he will do, he will do. Do you believe this? Do you believe that God was only a God of miracles in Bible times? Do you believe that God is doing miracles today? Do you believe that God wants to do a miracle in your life? Yeah. Amen. Amen. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. Do you take the time to pray for people during the week? Do you ask God in advance to give you a word to be shared with somebody? If we're showing up on Sunday morning and expecting God to do everything that we need him to do from 10 o'clock until 11:30, then we're not giving God the time that he desires and he needs and he asks of us. So if it's just about this gathering, we need to get beyond that. God wants to work in your life 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We are to be preparing our hearts all week so that when we come together, we are ready to celebrate. When we get together, are we encouraging one another? Do people sense God's love? Do you make people feel welcomed? And I'm not just talking about the people in the pew next to you. I'm talking about the new person that just walked through the door for the very first time who's never been to church. Does that person, when they walk out of here, are they walking out of here saying, wow, I felt so much love in that place. I've never been given a handshake so many times in all my life. Why do I use handshakes? Because I don't want you to hug me. It's my own personal phobia. I'm just not a hugger. So if you come up and I'm firm on that handshake, and I know some people are going to come in for that side hug, but I keep that hand pretty. And I can tell you the story why there's a reason why I'm like that, but I'm not going to get into that today. But anyway, not everybody likes to be hugged. Is there anybody else here in this place that might agree with me? You don't, Greg, I knew that you'd put up your hand. I shouldn't have put you on the spot like that. And here's the key point to why we do all of these things. It says, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We gather together weekly to celebrate, to speak of the great things that God is doing. We sing songs that declare His grace, His faithfulness, His mercy. We give of our tithes and offerings because we celebrate that God continues to provide for us. He provides for our family. God has blessed us with a job. God provides for our needs. God, I have this income because of you. And as a result, I give a portion of this back to you. Why? So that the work can continue in this community. So that we can continue to meet here in this building. So that we can have heat when we come into this place. So that we can have a team of people that will plan various events to reach out to the community. We also gather to hear from God's word and to receive teaching on how to grow in our faith and how to share God's love. We gather to spur one another on, to develop and build relationships with one another. So let's look at this passage in light of our purpose and values as a church. Each week, we sit as a staff and we plan out our services. What is our purpose? Who are we hoping that will come? Who are we inviting? What is the theme? What is the message? The next thing we do is we plan the celebration. What pieces do we need to put together? What items do we need? Just like our own physical body, we need all of the elements in place. We need our fingers, we need our hands, we need our ears, we need our eyes, we need our head, we need the entire body. And in our terms as a church body, we need a worship leader, a piano player, a sound tech, a coffee maker, greeters, ushers, children's workers, custodians, maintenance people, prayer team. The list goes on. There's a lot that goes into preparing this weekly celebration. There's a lot of planning. And then once everything has been planned out, we start to prepare. The children's workers, they prepare their teaching. The coffee people prepare their supplies. The custodians prepare the building. The worship leader prepares his set list. In essence, we determine our purpose. When you host a party, the guests acknowledge the host. Here, our host is Jesus Christ. We are here for him. We are here to honor him. We are here to lift up the name of Jesus. We're not here to lift up my name or your name or anybody else's name. When we come together, we are here and there is one name that we lift higher than any other name. And his name is?
Jesus.
Amen. So our purpose for Sunday morning is to celebrate Christ. We come together and celebrate all that he's done. We honor him. We worship him. We bring him presents, also known as our tithes. We open his word and listen to what he is speaking into our hearts. This is our purpose. We create a plan. We put together the preparations. We invite the people. We come together to celebrate Jesus, who he is, and all that he's done in our lives. So when we gather together, it's not about us. It's all for him. So what party is God asking you to plan in order that the work he has called you to do be fulfilled? We have been called by God to be in the valley for the valley. As a church, we have stated that our purpose is to glorify God and bring people to Jesus, to help people grow and to equip them for life's mission in this world. Are we doing this? What is it that God is speaking to you about? Is God asking you to start a prayer ministry? Is God asking you to start a moms and tots group? Is God asking you to start a hiking group, a fitness group, a fishing group, a book club? I don't know what it is that God has been speaking into your heart about and the party that he's asking you to plan, but do you know who does? You. You know what it is that God has been speaking into your heart about doing, and you've been resisting. Do you know why we don't have the ministry in our church that you're looking for? It's because God is speaking to your heart about it, and he's asking you to step up. So you know what would happen? And this might put, don't be fearful of this. If you were to come up to me and say, Pastor Chad, I believe that God has been calling us as a church to start a moms and tots group. Do you know what my response is going to be to you? Perfect. We now have the new director of the moms and tots group for here in our church. Because if God is challenging you on it, God is speaking to you and he is asking you. It's not for you to come and put all of this additional work on me. It's because God is asking us as a body to step up and do what it is that he's asking us to do. So what is the plan that God has been speaking to you about? What is the purpose for this plan? Have you started making the preparations? What people are you going to invite? And I'm not just talking about inviting your church friends. I'm talking about your neighbors, your colleagues, your non-believing friends. If you don't have non-believing friends in your life, I would strongly encourage you to come alongside of them and find some. Because, you know, it's one thing to stay, oh God, I pray for this valley and all of the people that are here that don't know you. Call them by name. God, I pray for Sally and Johnny. God, I pray for, and you put in the name of your neighbors who don't know Christ, the people that you work for. Start praying for them by name. How will you respond when you're required to get into the dirt and start working? Are you prepared to work, to walk with people on their journey? But Pastor Chad, I like hiking, but I don't know how to go about putting together a hiking group. Well, you know what? If the great God that we serve is able to create this entire universe with all of the intricate details coming into order and creating you, I bet that if you were to ask the Creator, he would give you the creativity that you need to start what it is that he's asking you to do. Start with a conversation with him about this. What seed have you planted in the ground? It's time to start preparing because the seed is about to grow and you need to be ready for the party that God is calling you to plan. Bloom where you're planted. As you heard, the challenge was put forth to me that I have been called to this place to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. And with that, I believe that my calling comes with me also leading by example. God has been speaking to my heart about starting something for the 60 plus. I'm not doing this because I'm looking for something else to do. I'm doing this because this is what God has spoken to my heart. And I don't know if anybody else is going to come, but I'm going to follow what God is speaking to my heart about. We might get one, we might get two, we might get 50. Who knows? But the key thing is that I want to say, God, I'm doing this for you. What is it that God has been speaking into your heart about doing? What small group has he been speaking to you? What party is it that he's asking you to plan? Make the plans. Start to prepare. Find that purpose and extend the invitation to the people. This morning, God might be saying, right now, I'm calling you into having a relationship with me. You might be here this morning and you have not even started at your A. You might be thinking, oh, no, I can't do that. I'm not ready. I've got to quit this and I've got to give up this. And I still haven't fixed this in my life. Bring it to Jesus. Because you don't know how to clean up your mess. Jesus knows how he's going to clean it up. And we need to listen to him and follow his leading, follow his direction. So I'm going to ask you all to just bow your heads this morning. Father, I believe that you have been speaking right across this place this morning. You've been speaking into the hearts of people. And I believe that even before they came today, your Holy Spirit was at work and you were drawing them to you. And perhaps they didn't know why it is that they were to come. It's like, why do I have this desire? Why is it that I want to get up and go to church today? Why is it that I believe that I should be here? I believe it is because you are saying to that person, because I want to meet with you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to walk with you on the journey that you are on. You have been trying to fix things and correct things on your own. But this morning, I'm asking you to ask me into your life. God is not forcing himself upon us. God is not trying to push his way into our lives. A relationship can only start if we want that relationship to start. God is simply knocking. The question is, are we going to open up our hearts to hear and to receive from him? So as every person has their eyes closed and their heads bowed, if that is you this morning, I'm just going to look across this congregation and I'm just going to simply ask you, put your hand up and just say, yes, Pastor Chad, I want you to pray for me because I want to have a relationship with Christ. I don't know what that looks like, but I believe that by being discipled and walking with God, he is going to show me the things that need to be done. So if that is you, I just invite you to slip up your hand. I want to pray for you this morning. I see that hand. Thank you. Can we all join this morning and pray? Because every single one of us have faults and failures in our lives. God continues to work out our salvation. So let's pray. Father, here I am. I give myself to you. And I ask that you would cleanse me. I ask that you would set me free. I ask that you would forgive me of the sins that I have committed. And I ask you to come into my heart. I love you, and I want to have a relationship with you because I know that you are Lord. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Father, you know what it is that you have been speaking into every single heart in this place this morning. You know the challenge that you have put forth. You know how you have been ministering. And Father, I pray that we would not walk out of this place and just simply say, yeah, that was a good message. Or yeah, God, I know that you're saying that, but I don't have the time, God. I'm too busy for that. God, if you are bringing us to that place, I know that you will give us the strength and everything that we need to do what it is that you're calling us to do. God, I pray that you would continue to watch over every person in this place. I thank you for each of them. I thank you for how you continue to pour out your love, your grace, your mercy upon them. And we thank you this morning for your Son. And we ask that you would continue to lead us and that you would continue to guide us. And as we go from this place this morning, I ask that your face would shine upon every single person in this place, and that throughout this week, they would look for opportunities to declare and speak your love. Father, that they would take that time to get alone with you, to hear your voice, to understand what it is that you're speaking into their heart, and that they would move in the direction that you're asking them to move. Watch over them. Watch over those individuals that have traveled great distances to be here with family this weekend to celebrate Thanksgiving. And we ask that you would watch over them as they travel back home. We thank you for all of this. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Thanksgiving weekend. And we will see you next weekend. God bless you.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.